the capabilities of electronics have spread their influence into nearly every sector of the American economy today. Because of increasing pressures for providing more reliable and more uniform performance in manufactured products, electronics is performing a growing role. Solid-state electronics now provides the means by which these ends can be achieved most economically. Here to discuss this application of electronics to monitoring, that is, to the measurement, inspection, and testing operations required, primarily in the field of automotive products manufacture, is Gordon A. McAlpine, who is Director of Marketing at ITT Industrial and Automation Systems.
Electronic reliability monitoring can be the key to productivity as we know it today. It is my firm conviction that this title can cover many different things. Electronic can be the means to an end, the one way of getting the job done. I'm sure there are other ways. Reliability is something positive, sure, something we can depend on. Monitoring is to test or to check. In short, reliability monitoring is nothing more than a sure check given a product, a component, a machine tool, a method, whatever you want to present in this fashion. Historically, we have talked for many years about the transition, or better spoken, the evolution of electronics. So let's begin by going back a short ways and look at what they have done, especially in the machine tool and metalworking areas. A short 20 years ago, when we were trying to do things electronically, a lot of it was being done in laboratories such as the MIT Servo Mechanisms Lab, but it was the beginning of numerical control that really brought out the electronic application within the metalworking environment. We found through the exposure of numerical control, numerically controlled machines, numerically controlled processes, that we were now able to get more life, more uptime, and certainly we got more reliability. Began with this point in attempting to expand the application of electronics, electronic equipment and devices to machine tool control and ultimately to monitoring. During the 60s, the early part of the 60s, electronics became an important part of machine tool control. And with the advent of the so-called static controls, solid-state controls, solid-state devices, such as relays, starters, and so forth, were then being required to be put on new machine tool lines. As the 60s developed, so did new devices, and toward the middle of the 60s, we started to use IC chips or integrated circuit chips, and this again gave us two advantages. One was reliability, and the second was the ability to monitor, to use these signals in a digestible form, because now we had a signal that was certainly of quality level and of a level that was constant. Therefore, we could monitor it. We could use it to operate other electronic devices. We then began by applying some of this reliability to computers. And we were applying it in one direction only, and that was to control with computers. When it became evident that control was not the only answer and not the only ability of the electronic devices, we proceeded to find that we had a new technique available right on the manufacturing floor. And this was management information systems, like monitoring, if you would. So we were able now to monitor how a machine operated. We were able to monitor how a system operated, if you would. This developed a further technique in which we were able to do testing. At the same time, we either machined or assembled or gauged. We were able to add testing to it and get recorded, documented results of these testing. I think it is self-evident why automatic testing is a good thing, especially in this era of callbacks, warranties, this kind of thing. It becomes an absolute way to provide manufacturing with positive quality control, a method of evaluating product performance, as well as minimizing warranty problems, or at least indicating warranty problems before they get to the ultimate customer. I think that we have several illustrations of this. Of course, one of the strongest and perhaps most obvious ones would be a product like a hydraulic valve lifter. For instance, a hydraulic valve lifter is one of the most precise devices used in an automobile engine today. It contains tolerances in the order of 33 millionths clearance fits. It contains tolerances in time leak down that are developed by pressure applied. Therefore, it becomes important to us to see exactly what the cost of this part could be, what the quality of this part could be and should be, and be able to trace it. The normal valve lifter takes approximately 35 cents to manufacture. When the valve lifter is installed in an automobile engine, its cost probably increases to 75 cents. If that valve lifter is found to be faulty at engine assembly test, this test engine must be torn down and new parts put in and reassembled and tested. At this point, this valve lifter now has developed a cost exceeding $20. However, should this valve lifter pass from the manufacturer to the customer, and the customer brings it back to a dealer to warranty, the actual book value for replacing these is in the order of $110. So the 35-cent valve lifter now becomes a $110 valve lifter, plus, more importantly, it has a mad customer, or an unhappy customer, I suppose would be a better way of saying it. We talk about this kind of a system in which we now are able to electronically match the valve lifter. We are able to determine its capability under given tests, such as static load test, dynamic leak down testing, record this information on computer, and be able to retrieve our performance as a manufacturing department to determine whether or not causes of reject can be corrected and how they can be corrected, and therefore improve our product life and product ability. During the last several years, carburetors have gone from the most costly warranty product on an automobile to the least costly. And I think here we can talk about electronics being the contributor to this. In the carburetor plant, they're currently using an IBM 1800 computer to operate the test stands. Now, these test stands do all of the adjustments do all of the flow testing, do all of the corrections, and then release a carburetor for shipment to an engine assembly. It is important to know that the entire project is operated by the computer, which feeds to electronic sensors on the test stands, which feeds more information and corrective action to the servo motors on the test stand. Electronics has developed an ability to replace the routine, dull, and mind-consuming work of an operator at this point. And yet, it has improved the quality, has improved the reliability, has improved the productive rate of these test stands. We must take a close look at what sort of electronics were used in this fashion. Let's begin by looking at a machine or a system as it would have been done 20 years ago and how it's done today. In the early 1950s, a complete system would have been either mechanical relay logic or pneumatic relay logic, feeding to and through magnetic starters, all mechanical devices. Two or three enemies stand in your way at this point. One of them is the definite life cycle of any mechanical device. You take a simple relay, has 2 million cycles, but 2 million cycles will last about 3 months in the average high production plant. Therefore, we have to go to a longer life device. The solid-state relay was brought into being. Solid-state relays have an undetermined life. They're usually silicon control rectifiers, SCRs, and silicon has a 1,000-year half-life. So what can happen to one of these devices? Poor design, poor application, no protection downstream. Other than these catastrophes, the device will go on forever. Now we must monitor to be sure that the device is working. So on the application, you put a small glow wire or light that will tell you that the device is working, working in sequence, and working as it should. These are the differences in many areas between what was done and what is done. We proceed from there and we determine that now we have an absolute value at this relay going in to the relay and coming out of the relay. By having this absolute value, if we were to tap off of that line and feed this signal to an accumulation device, we can begin a simple counting operation. In other words, as a gate opens, it would count open. As a gate closed, it would conversely count closes. If this gate happened to be on a production side where the good parts were the open and the bad parts were the closed, therefore you're getting a production count. If the good signal or the open signal was a motor start and the closed signal was a motor stop, then you can develop production figures on cycle time. Apply a real time clock to this open and close, and you will be able to find out how often that motor started and stopped in a given period of time related to real time. Therefore, we are now in the position of saying we have reliability in our control and we have information from this control, which gives us the opportunity of doing two things at once with a simple electronic device. This simple application brings us to what we think is the high point or the most important contribution electronics make to monitoring through their inbuilt reliability. When we begin to build a product, no matter how complicated, complex, or simple it might be, the most important facet of all manufacturing is testing. If after you've made an assembly and it's ready for shipment, and you ship it without some kind of testing, you are running a risk of warranty cost, of unhappy customers, of product in the field that has to be recalled, as we know now. But we have a great deal of time and effort put into something that will produce nothing but additional cost. So really what we're saying is that from testing, from electronic monitoring, we can increase productivity and increase profitability. And this, after all, is the name of all businesses today. Our boards of directors insist on these two points: more productivity, more profitability, which means reduced cost. Now, testing can reduce cost through several different ways. One, it can reduce finished goods inventory through match gauging. It can reduce finished goods inventory by having products that are fully assembled, tested, and shipped within a given period. For a moment, let's just relate, if we can, to a hydraulic valve lifter operation. If you take a look at the components of a hydraulic valve lifter, you'll notice that there are castings, there are steel parts that are made productively on screw machines and grinders. There are other parts that are made on stamping machines. Right away, you begin to realize that you have to have many different materials to make a final assembly. The object is to receive the raw material in the first part of a manufacturing cycle, but in the first part of a billing cycle, or a cost cycle, or if in your particular operation it happens to talk about cash flow cycle. We should be very careful to schedule our material to come in the first of a cash flow cycle. By rapidly processing this raw material into a finished product, finally assembled and tested and shipped with assurance that a customer will accept it and pay for it prior to the time that the raw material invoices become due, this is what we call an ideal situation for cash flow. And if you will analyze it, one of the strong contributors to this cash flow control and reduction of finished goods was electronic monitoring of the testing cycle, of the manufacturing cycle, and of the receiving cycle. And let's discuss this in a little greater detail at this point. Let us begin by first recognizing what we consider to be the key to this entire process. It is not simply ensuring that bad products do not get to a customer, but by detecting faulty components in the manufacturing process, much money is saved and productivity is gained. First of all, by not processing the finished assembly, which have manufacturing faults, but also by not completing the entire cycle that have manufacturing faults, whether they are the metalworking and the assembly techniques. So therefore, let us look for a moment at an operation line that is producing a rotor, if you would. A rotor is manufactured through several transfer lines. By the way, this is a disc brake rotor that we're using as an example. From these transfer lines, they are brought to a final inspection area. Now, the inspection area checks the obvious things, the dimensions, to make sure that it does meet basic dimensions. But then it goes further. and it begins by comparing electronically the performance of this rotor as it would relate to the end product, an automobile. And it compares its performance on the gauge or on the testing machine to a performance parameter set up and stored in an overall computer. Now, this overall computer contains a master program that says this is the way the rotor should operate. This online gauge feeding information to a master computer within the plant, comparing programs, now says the rotor is ready for delivery to a customer. That being the case, the computer then prints out a shipping instruction and attaches it through a teletype to the shipping container. It also notifies the customer that this shipment is on its way. And the customer's computer then begins the interrogation of the vendor's computer. What are these parts? How good are they? On what basis do you say they're good? And if that is so, we will accept them. The same parameters of inspection are in the customer's computer that were in the vendor's computer. When these two are satisfied, I'm sure that it becomes obvious what can happen when this shipment is made. The computer can then notify purchasing, manufacturing, accounting, that this shipment is underway and that it's proper, and that paperwork can now be automatically, not manually, issued. And it can be issued with reliability because it was monitored by electronic devices. By the way, one small plus in this whole system, and remembering that our object here is to have profitability with productivity, one small point is that the computer can also notify the customer's bank to deposit in the vendor's bank a given amount of money that this shipment represents. In other words, checkless paydays. These checkless paydays now become important because they have shortened the cash flow of many hundreds of thousands of dollars by sometimes as much as 45 days. And if you were to take the dollar volume that is involved at this point and just take it at your local bank interest rate, I think you will find that any system that monitors and communicates is well worth the cost of installation. Sidelight of this entire electronic monitoring comes into being as you examine manufacturing engineering as it applies in most operations today. Manufacturing engineering is usually divided into two groups. One are the makers. The makers always are the people that cut and stamp and bore and punch and bend and weld and plate and solder, all of the components that make up an assembly. And theirs is an important contribution to the total cycle. However, their importance lies only in one area, in the manufacturing of components as they apply to print specifications. The other side of manufacturing engineering is what we have decided to call the user side. And the users break down into three primary disciplines. These disciplines are gauging, assembly, and testing. Now, there are many sub-functions under this, but these are the primary ones. So let's, for a moment, take a look at an assembly operation. An assembly operation, as you apply automatic information to it, is only as good as the components that come to it. An assembly operation is like a computer. It is only as good as what you put in it. The old story of garbage in is garbage out. But let's go on for a moment. We're trying to run an automatic assembly area in order to reduce costs. And the reason we say reduce costs is because many studies have been made in the last 3 or 4 years to show that anywhere from 40 to 85% of all production dollars are spent in the assembly area. That's an important point. 40 to 85% of the production dollar is spent in the assembly area. Let's see what we can do to reduce that cost, improve our productivity, and profitability. We begin by determining the assembly operation and how far this assembly operation should be carried out. As we extend this assembly, we start to look at the number of parts that are coming to this operation. We determine their contribution to the total assembly, and we begin an electronic monitoring, if you would, of these parts that could be called gauging, and should properly be called gauging. Now, we don't necessarily mean sophisticated gauges in all cases. Maybe a simple profile gauge. It may be a very exotic dimensional gauge, electronic and air-operated. But most important, it becomes an information center that tells us the kind of quality that manufacturing is sending to us for final assembly. At this point, the information on acceptable parts, on reject parts, on the bell curve scatter of parts through a tolerance of fit, match fit tolerance, all of these things can now be recorded and, if necessary, displayed back in the manufacturing department to ensure that we receive the volume of parts in the time that we need them. This being true, and the parts now being received are good parts, we're able now to go on and assemble. We now make an assembly, and during this assembly process, we will probe. Limit switch probes, photoelectric cell probes, many different ways, proximity switches, all of these things are important to be sure that all of the components have been placed in the assembly and most often in proper order. What do we do at this point when we find one that isn't? Remember what devices we're using. They're all electronic devices. Therefore, we have reliability and we have electronic reliability monitoring of the assembly operation. A subassembly that is not correct can be rejected and another one placed in. A total assembly that's not correct can be rejected and returned at an economical point. This point gives us the breakdown that we need to continue with productivity. Then we go to the third step in the manufacturing engineering discipline, which is testing. After all, what better time to do it? We now have the part properly oriented. We have it carried in some sort of a transfer device. We have it ready to present to some sort of shipping carton. Why not test it and produce results from this testing that will assure our sales department and our customers of a quality product and will assure cost reduction through reduced warranties.
You've reached the end of side one. To continue, stop your cassette player, turn over the cassette, and restart your machine.